Folks, glad you're here this morning. Good to see you. And just a reminder, this will probably take us 2 weeks to go through, but it's up there, the lesson. This is our last lesson, and then we're going to start a new, we're going to break up Sunday school, men and women. And the women will stay up here, and men will go downstairs, and Sandy will teach that. And we'll probably do that through the summer, and then see what happens after that. But the next week, a week from today, Sandy and I will not be here. Larry and Becky will be here. And so Larry's going to do something for Sunday school, but something different. And then Friend Day, we'll finish up this lesson, and then in June we'll start the new Sunday school series. So that's just a little bit of house cleaning before we get started. So let's start with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this morning, and thank you for mothers. Thank you for Mother's Day. Thank you for this day that we put aside to honor moms, and we just thank you for our mothers, whether they're here or not, and thank you for their memories if they're not. And we just pray today that you'd be with us during this Sunday school time. In Jesus' name, amen. So happy Mother's Day, ladies. And remember your moms today. And if your moms are no longer here, just remember the good memories and honor your mom that way. And congratulations, new grandma and new great-grandma on... if he could have only hung out for a couple more days, today would have been a good day to be born on. But
I have two granddaughters who are really enjoying Mother's Day.
Good, good. That's good. That's precious.
If Nick's girlfriend Leah comes today, she was born on Mother's Day.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, very good. So, all right, so we have been doing a series called Developing a Better Relationship with God. And we looked, you know, at our relationship with the Godhead, and then we kind of have been breaking it down and looking at our relationship with the Father. And of course, if he's the Father, we're his children. We looked at the different relationships we have with the Lord Jesus Christ as his servants, as his disciples. And today we're going to look at our interaction with the Holy Spirit, and in particular, we're going to look at our being filled and then our being led. I know we will not get through this today, but that's never a problem with us. We tend to be laggers here a little bit, but that's because we get into good discussion. But it's very important for us to understand our relationship with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is who the Lord Jesus promised to send after he left, and whom he did send, okay, Acts chapter 2. And he promised that the Holy Spirit would be our resident comforter and helper and guide and teacher. And it's very important that we understand his ministry, because there is a lot of misunderstanding about the Holy Spirit, and especially if you get into what is called charismatic or Pentecostal circles, and there's a overemphasis. Let me back up. Is the Holy Spirit God? Yes, of course. But you know, what does the Holy Spirit seek to bring glory to himself? No, he seeks to point people to Christ, and Christ seeks to bring people back into a relationship with the Father. So there's an overemphasis on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which has caused, I think, conservative and more fundamental people to kind of back away from this teaching. We don't want to seem like we're, you know, charismatic. And I think it's been to our harm. We are not at all going to study absolutely everything about the Holy Spirit in this Sunday school class, but it will help us to understand a few things. So We who have been born again received God the Holy Spirit at salvation as our permanent resident helper. Okay? So when you were saved, whether you remember the date or not, it doesn't matter. But when you trusted Christ as your Savior, God the Holy Spirit came into your life permanently. Okay? And that is why, that is one of the main reasons why we believe you can't lose your salvation, because God doesn't come and go and come and go like in the Old Testament he did. But in the New Testament he does not. Look at John chapter 14. If you want to learn about the Holy Spirit's ministry, John 14, 15, and 16 are chapters that you really have to read and study. Because that was the last night the Lord was with his disciples, and he predominantly spent most of that time in what we call the upper room discourse, teaching about the coming of the Holy Spirit, who would come 50 days after that at the day of Pentecost. So look at John 14, look at 16 with me. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." So one of the things, and also in these chapters, the Lord told his disciples, it's good for you that I go away. Imagine that. They spend the last three and a half years with Jesus, and he said, you know, it's good for you that I'm leaving. And of course, they didn't understand that at the time. But he said, if I don't leave, the Holy Spirit won't come. Now, when Jesus was on earth, he's God in the flesh. But one of the things that he laid aside was his omnipresence, right? So he was only, for that time when he was with us, only one place at one time. So how could he make the promise of Matthew 28, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world"? How could he make that promise to all his disciples? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would come and would reside in each and every believer. And he would, notice it says, "I'll give you another comforter." That word "another" is an interesting word in the Greek. It means another of the same kind, okay? Not another as in something different, right? It's another of the same kind. You know, we've had I'm buying another car. That's not what this word means, you know, because it's not the same kind of car. You know, one might be a Subaru, one might be a Chevrolet, but another of the same kind. You know, imagine you're in New York City and you just can't wait to have a dirt water dog, right? You know what a dirt water dog is? Oh, it's a hot dog stand that all those hot dogs all day soak in the same hot water. It's called dirt water dog. It's the best. Anyway. So, you know, you want another one. It's the same thing. It's another of the same kind. And, of course, the same kind, he's God, the Spirit, okay? So we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. So he's going to send another comforter, and how long will he abide with you? Forever, okay? Who is this? The Spirit of truth. And the world can't receive him, it can't even see him, because it doesn't know him. But you know him. How do you know him? Because he dwells in you, and he'll be in you. Okay? So here's the promise. He's our resident helper. Look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24, the Bible says, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." So we know that Jesus abides in us because he abides in us through his Spirit, right? One God, right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, right? So, you know, Jesus dwells in us through his Holy Spirit. Therefore, according to 1 Corinthians 6:19, our bodies are his temple. Right? Where did God dwell in the Old Testament? He dwelt either in the tabernacle or in the temple. Where did God dwell during the Gospels? In the body of Jesus. Where does God dwell today? In our body. Therefore, our bodies, according to Paul, 1 Corinthians 6:19, our bodies are his temple. He resides. The temple was where God resided. And today he resides in our body. So since the Holy Spirit is a person like the other members of the Holy Spirit, we can fellowship with him. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 at the close of the book. He gives this Trinitarian benediction. He says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion or fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all," right? So we can fellowship with the Holy Spirit. God dwells within us. Where do we take him? Everywhere, right? That's sobering. You know, everything we do, he sees, you know, and that's why sometimes we need to be careful, because the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, okay? So let's talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm assuming, it's pretty a safe assumption, that all of us are saved, right? So every one of us has the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, okay? When you're saved, the moment you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you. You might not have been aware of that at the time, okay? But that's what happened. And our being filled with the Holy Spirit is not our receiving more of him. Okay? How much of the Holy Spirit did you receive when you were saved? All of him. Okay? How much of the Holy Spirit continues day by day by day by day to reside in you? All of him. Okay? So, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit if I already have all of them? That's a good question. I'm glad you asked. Okay? But what it means is he has more of us. Okay? Our body, right? We're either, Paul tells us in Galatians and elsewhere, we're either being led by the flesh or led by the Spirit. So if we're being led by the Spirit, we're filled with the Spirit. But if we're being and doing the works of the flesh, we're being filled with the flesh. So it's not how much of him we have, but how much of him have we yielded ourselves to, right? We have how much of him. It's not opening up your head like a jar and pouring in more of the Holy Spirit, okay? But it's ridding our lives of the flesh and the evil influences so that more of the Spirit can take control of us. Understand? And the more that he fills us, the greater power we have to live the Christian life. When we suffer defeat after defeat after defeat after defeat, it's not because the Holy Spirit has left us. It's because we're not letting him fill us. What? We're suppressing him. We're grieving him, right? We're letting the flesh rule, okay? But when we have victories, it's not because suddenly we've gotten more of the Spirit, but we've yielded to him. We've allowed him to work in our life, okay? So look at Ephesians 5, 18. Ephesians 5:18. Notice it says the need of this filling. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, this may seem strange. What in the world is Paul talking about being drunk and being filled? Okay? If you... What did you need, Liz? Oh, Ephesians. I'm sorry. Ephesians 5:18. So, when you are drunk with wine, what controls you? The spirit of the wine, right? You know, isn't it interesting that the, I think, didn't they used to call alcohol spirits, right? You know, and but it controls you, okay? It controls you. Sadly, you know, people do things when they're drunk that they wouldn't normally do. So Paul's not saying, hey, he's not saying get drunk with the Holy Spirit. He's not saying that. But he's using an illustration. Just as someone is under the influence of alcohol, which there is excess, right? Excess means riotous and recklessness. Of course, we're not going to be riotous or reckless when the Spirit fills us, right? But be filled, filled. And this word filled in the Greek is in the present tense. It's ongoing, okay? It's passive, which means it's allowing the Spirit to do His work in our life. And it's imperfect. What does that mean? So it's present, passive, imperfect. It's imperfect. It means an action in time past and the present, but it's not finished. It's an ongoing thing, right? So the Spirit it's an ongoing experience in our life, being filled with the Spirit. It's not something, even though we have all of the Spirit, it's not getting more of Him, it's us allowing Him to fill us. Right? You know, so that it's His power that's in our life. And we have this need to live the Christian life by His filling. Okay, how many of us are able to save ourselves? Zero. None of us. How many of us are able to live the Christian life? Zero. None of us. The only way we can live the Christian life is to allow the Spirit to work through us. And how do we do that? The first thing we need to let Him do is fill us with His power, right? That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So our Christian life is a spiritual life. So therefore, I need the Spirit, right? Just as the worldly man, alcohol makes him do things he wouldn't normally do, the Spirit of God helps us do things we wouldn't normally do. Like what? Please God. Can't please God on my own. You know, minister and do all the things that God requires us to do. So the need of this filling, to manifest Christian character. Look at chapter 5 of Ephesians. Verse 1 and 2, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sweet and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now, how are we supposed to, what are we supposed to do? Verse 1, be followers of God as children, right? Like father, like Son. So this helps us The Spirit of God helps us to be followers of God. And how are we to walk, verse 2? In love. That goes counter to my flesh, right? When somebody hurts me, what's our natural inclination? Hurt them back. Get even. Or worse than get even, get one up, right? So that's the natural man. But the spiritual man, we walk in love. How? What's the qualifier? As Christ loved us. And how did he love us? All the way to the end. All the way to death. So as we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it allows us to manifest Christian character. Okay? If you are not manifesting Christian character, guaranteed 100% you are not filled with the Spirit of God at that moment. Somebody cuts you off, you hang out the window, and you holler all kinds of obscenities, and you're fist at the guy, and you're getting all filled with road rage. That is not the Spirit of God. Okay? So it helps us manifest Christian, he helps us manifest Christian character as we submit to him, yield our lives to him. Look at verse 17 of chapter 5. The need of this filling to receive and retain biblical knowledge. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Where do we find out the will of the Lord? In the Bible. Right? So I have to understand it. Who gives me that understanding? The Holy Spirit. Right? Sometimes the Holy Spirit uses teachers in our life. Praise God. But those teachers better be opening the Word of God and giving the Word of God to us. Okay? So the need of this filling to manifest Christian character, to receive and retain biblical knowledge, Ephesians 6, to receive the strength to fight the Christian fight. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the, what's the next word? Power of his might. So who is the power of the Lord? The Holy Spirit, right? How was Jesus Christ raised from the dead? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And whose might is it? Notice it says his might, the power of his might. How, if you face the spiritual enemy in the power of your flesh, what's going to happen? You're going to lose, right? You're going to be laying on the ground with a knockout punch, right? We have no strength to defeat our spiritual enemies. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might, and look what God has given us. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles, we don't use it too much, but there's a cartoon character who always chased the Roadrunner. What was his full name? Wile E. Coyote. So think about wily. The word wily means trickery, right? So the devil is very conniving. Unlike Wile E. Coyote, you know, what was that? It was kind of stupid, you know, but of course he came back from the dead after being smashed, crashed, and against the wiles of the devil. Why? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. If we did, that's an easier fight to win, right? You just bring a bigger club to the fight, you know, or bigger muscles. But that's not where our fight is. Our fight is in heavenly places. So we need God's armor. We need God's strength. We need God's power, which is provided for us through the Holy Spirit. Okay? To receive the enabling for service. Notice carefully, last words of Jesus to his disciples as he's just about to ascend back into heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive, next word, power. You receive power when? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why? To be witnesses unto me. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world. So again, there's that same word in Acts 1 that Paul used in Ephesians, power. Okay? It's a supernatural power that allows us to do supernatural things. And what is the supernatural thing that it allows us to do? Live the Christian life. Friends, that's a supernatural thing. You can't do it on your own. And the only reason that you and I have any victories in our Christian life is because God does the supernatural in and through us. Okay? A changed life. Who's the only one that can change a life? The Holy Spirit. You know, we're thankful for programs that help people, you know, get sober and all those kind of things, but that's bound to fail, you know, but God supernaturally will give someone victory, and that victory will continue as long as they stay filled. Classic case study. Now, it's Old Testament, okay, but still, Spirit of God. Samson, right? Now, yes, in the Old Testament, the Spirit, there was a Holy Spirit, right? But he didn't indwell. He came upon and he left. When the Spirit of God was on Samson, he could do supernatural things. He could carry gates of cities with their posts and everything uphill for miles and miles and miles. He could defeat thousands of Philistines with just using the jawbone of a donkey, right? He could do all of these things. But when he was not filled with the Spirit, what was he? Just another man. You know, maybe you've seen the old Hollywood movie, Samson and Delilah, and I think Victor Mature, he's this real big guy. I don't think Samson was a real big guy. Because Samson's name means little son. And I think he was just a normal looking. He wasn't, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger looking guy. He wasn't a, you know, Rambo looking guy. You know, he was just a normal guy. But when he was filled with the Spirit, he did supernatural things. Just like you and I can do. And if there's not a lot of spiritual victories in our life, it's probably because we're not filled with the Spirit of God. Not probably. It is because we're not filled with the Spirit of God. Okay? One more, and then I'll open it up for questions. And the need of this filling is to enable us to worship God correctly. Okay? John chapter 4, verse 24 says, God is a spirit, right? And they that worship him must worship him, what? In spirit and in truth. Okay, now look at Philippians 3 with that in mind. Philippians 3, what do I have written down? 3:3. Philippians 3:3 says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So what was Paul saying? Circumcision. So he's talking about Jewish people here. He's saying, actually, the believing Jews are the ones who are worshiping God. not the non-believing Jews. They're doing it according to the flesh. So if you are spirit-filled, you will properly worship God. Because who dwells within you? God, the Holy Spirit. And He will not lead us to do things contrary. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. I see all kinds of worship going on in churches. Which one are spirit-filled? Well, there's only two categories for worship to be in, okay? It's either verse Philippians 3:3, we can worship God in the spirit or in the flesh, right? So to worship God in the spirit, I have to be filled. So that means if there's a team that's worshiping, worship lead, and I'm not saying that necessarily having a worship team is bad. I'm not saying that. But if that team is there to put on a show, look at me, that's flesh. That's not worshiping God in the spirit. Oh, they could be the best musicians. And it could be sweet music, right? But if it's for the flesh, it doesn't please God, right? And it doesn't have, and friends, it can be in the flesh in a fundamental church or in what we would call a new evangelical church, and it could be in the spirit in both. It depends. I'm not going to throw every baby out with the bathwater, okay? Just because we sing the right hymns doesn't mean we're worshiping God in the spirit. Are we spirit-filled? Are we allowing God to work in our life? Should we be practiced if that's the case? Should we present to the Lord our best? Of course we should. I bet you all the psalmists and the choristers and the musicians, they practiced. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not a show. It's not a performance. It's worship. Okay? All right? So we want to make, and all these are important. We need to be filled with the Spirit so we can manifest Christian character, receive and retain biblical knowledge, strength to fight the Christian fight, enable us to serve, and enable us to worship correctly. Okay? Questions under that part of the filling. Thoughts? Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh. But when I picture this filling of the Spirit, I think of the Spirit as sort of like a gas. Like gas.
Okay.
Like gas, because gas will take up as much space as you will give it, but you have to give it the space.
Right.
And if you don't give it the space, and it, in other words, empty of self,
right,
then the Spirit can't be seen, it can't manifest, it can't move.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and we've probably all seen the illustrations where people put marbles in a jar and sand in a jar, you know, and basically, you know, here's how I understand it. Am I filled with me or the Spirit? If I leave a little corner just for me, I'm not filled with the Spirit, you know? You know, and we need to, and I mean, yes, gas fills up all that empty space, you know, but if it's not empty, we're not filled, right? William Borden was heir to the Borden throne. Think back before refrigeration and canned milk, canned cow was really important. That Borden, okay? I think you can still buy Borden in the cans. Evaporated milk and condensed milk. Well, his son was heir to that throne, and his son gave all of that up to be a missionary. And he died a very young man, and at his funeral, his father, who was not a believer, said, "My son wasted his life. He could have been, you know." But anyway, William Borden, and if you don't have the book, you need to find William Borden of Yale and read his autobiography. But William Borden said, I have a cross and a throne in my heart. If I'm on the throne, Christ is still on the cross. I need to be on the cross to enthrone Christ. So that's kind of illustrative of also being filled with the Spirit, right? I die daily. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So you know, we have to be empty of self. We can't win battles. We can't worship God correctly. You know, we need to be filled. It's not something mystical. Ooh, it's not mystical at all. It should be our everyday experience. You know, Lord, help me today to be filled with your Spirit, which means I need to die to myself. I want to do what pleases you, you know. But sadly, it's not the experience of most Christians, and sadly, even in our life, it's not our daily, you know, experience. Okay?
I'm going to do Andy's plug for John Van Gelder. One of my favorite sermons I've ever heard preached is called Who or What is Your Leader?
Uh-huh.
And it is all about letting the Spirit to be focused on him and
right.
How to live with the
Lord. Right. Yep, and he's given us the power to live a successful, victorious Christian life. Too many Christians suffer defeat. I shared my testimony yesterday with the discipleship group at the Hill Church. And, you know, for 17 years of my life, I was a believer, but I lived in the wilderness. I didn't let the Spirit of God lead me, and I had zero spiritual victories in 17 years. I know I was saved because I lived through the conviction and the guilt. And you know, why would I have that conviction and guilt? It was the Spirit of God working. And then one day, you know, I learned, ooh, boy, I've been going about this all wrong, you know. And but how did I live? Just like the rest of the world. How did Samson live when he wasn't filled with the Spirit? Just like everybody else. Chased women, you know, drank, got drunk, went to parties, just like everybody else. So, all right. Good? Questions? All right, number two. See if we can get through this one. We'll pick up next week at number three. The requirements for this filling. What must, how are we filled with the Spirit? First thing, number one. We must deal with sin when it occurs. 1 John 1:9. What does it 1 John 1:9 say? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? So after I'm saved, am I going to continue to sin? Of course, right? What has God given me to help me when I sin? Forgiveness. Right? Cleansing. What do I have to do, though? I have to confess it. What does confess mean? I've got to agree with God. You know, Lord, this was sin. I confess it. I ask for forgiveness. And what does God promise he'll do? Not only forgive me, but then we need to claim that forgiveness because then it cleanses us. Because what happens to us sometimes when we ask for forgiveness and we don't fully understand about forgiveness? We still feel dirty. Right? Oh, you know. But understand, God's cleansed you. If you've truly come to him, confess that sin, and ask for forgiveness, he has truly forgiven you and cleansed you. Get up and serve God. Right? But sometimes we okay, yes, God, you've forgiven me, but man, I still feel dirty. Get back on your knees and ask God to make you feel, you know, that cleansing. May you know that cleansing. May you experience that cleansing. Okay? We must give ourselves to the Holy Spirit's work. So I confess my sin, but then I need to be willing to be a vessel. First Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. What does the word quench mean? Knock out?
Snuff out,
right? Right, but this is in the negative, right? It says quench not. So picture the Holy Spirit as the fire in your life, right? Don't put it out. Quench not the Holy Spirit. How do we quench the Holy Spirit? Sin. Go back to step one. Confess our sin. Sin. You know, by not allowing Him to lead us. By the Spirit of God convicting me of something and not acting on that conviction. Right? By the Spirit of God telling you, you know, through the Word of God that you should be doing it and not doing it. That's how we quench, we put out the fire. You know, if you have a deep thirst, right? How do you quench that thirst? Water, whatever. Don't quench the Spirit's fire. What should we do to that fire? Fan it, right? Not quench it. Okay, Andy? Right. Well, we could never put it out because we're He's always in us. Right. Yeah. So you don't want to reduce that. You know, you'll never put that fire out if you're saved. That little fire was always burning in my life for those 17 years, right? Because what was I doing? I was quenching Him. He was convicting me. All those promises I made to God when I would come home, you know, drunk or stoned, you know, I'd come, oh, I'm never going to do this again, God. Why am I so worried about God and pleasing Him during that time, you know? But I was quenching Him. I was grieving Him. Okay? And then number three, we must rely. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. And if I walk in the Spirit, what's the next word? Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, I'm struggling with whatever work of the flesh. Fill in the blank. I'm struggling with that. How do I have victory over that? Walk in the Spirit. Now let me say something. We know what we ought to do. It's not always easy to do it, is it? You know? So, but God has given us everything. Okay? God has given us everything to live the Christian life. Everything. And the greatest gift He's given us is the Spirit that dwells within us. But He's given us His Word. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us His church, His people, the body of Christ to help and encourage us. All right? So these are things that God are being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, and we need to be filled, the requirements for this filling. And then next time we're together, we'll talk about our remaining filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we remain filled? You know, how do we make this more the normal experience of our life rather than this? Look up here. Boom, 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 right? You know, filled with the Spirit, not with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit, you know. How do we get this type of action in our life? You know, what do we need to do? Okay? Thoughts, comments, questions? Clear as mud. Right. Yeah.
And that is such a great demonstration to me of how
you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You don't think of depression as a lust of the flesh,
right.
but it is
a
fleshly problem.
Yep, amen. Okay, we'll pick this up next week.